Chase and Big Joe, hour number three, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday, Reaction Monday. Team USA wins the gold in hockey. We say hello now to our gold medalist, one of our favorites, John McLean. He joins us. John, what's up? How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. I, as someone who watched that 1980 Miracle on Ice, as someone who covered that Russian team that was the greatest collection of players in the history of sport, I got to cover them when they were touring the country in 1980. And somebody may go, oh, well, no, what about the NHL? You know what? That Russian team played together all year round for multiple years. It's like if you took the best in the National Hockey League and you had them playing together for several years, then you'd have a great, a truly great team. And that Russian team, the Houston Aeros then were really good, one of the two best teams in the World Hockey Association. The Russians came in here with all their stars, and they beat the Aeros 10-1. We thought the goaltender was going to get a sunburn on the back of his neck. And it was just amazing, the collection of talent they had. And plus, we hated Russia. We hate Russia now, but for a different reason. You know, we hated Russia back then because, you know, we were coming out of the Cold War, and they were, you know, people didn't know a lot about them. There was no social media back then. And every time I see Al Michaels, I think, do you believe in miracles? Yes. And I just, to me, it was of all the great calls. And I think the greatest I've ever heard was the Giants win the pennant, the Giants win the pennant, the Giants win the pennant. But boy, considering what that meant, I still get, when I watch Miracle, I still get choked up. I know exactly what's going to be said and how it's going to come out. And I still get emotional about it. And I think yesterday, I tweeted right before it started, in my, this is my 54th year, I think, as a sports writer, 50th covering the NFL, and I've never been more excited about an event than that game. That included every Super Bowl I've been to. I covered the Winter Olympics, did nothing but hockey. Canada beat us in the gold medal game, but that one, it just got me. And I was still tweeting, retweeting at 2 in the morning because I stay up late because there were so many great stories and videos. And, boy, Freebird was the perfect song for hockey because of the fast pace. And Freebird has the best lead guitar in any song there's ever been. And I just all came together, you know, those kids, and I just, it was great. I felt like everybody else. But for somebody like one of the New York papers had Miracle too. No, this was not a miracle.
No.
Yes, Canada was favored, but everybody knew it was going to be close, and we kicked their ass.
Yes, we did. Do you? I mean, we've talked to you about this before. Everybody, when the NHL talks expansion, Houston always comes up. I know they've had hockey at other levels before. I mean, I feel like it'd be a great market for an NHL team.
We are the third largest city in the country. It always bothers me. Gentleman Fertitta, the ambassador to Italy, who owns the Rockets and just about every restaurant in the free world, has told me on multiple times, he's had studies done that tell him it wouldn't go over here. And I said, okay, why does it go over in Dallas? Why does it go over in Denver? We're bigger in Dallas than Denver totally, and I guarantee you we have more people in Houston, 6 million estimated in the area, than Denver and Dallas. And it always bothers me when Dallas has something we don't, like an NHL team that's won the Stanley Cup. And there's no reason. Now we have a guy here named Dan Friedkin who owns Gulf States Toyota, and he owns Everton in the Premier League, and he owns Roma in the top Rome League, and has done a great job with those franchises in soccer, and he wants to bring a hockey team here. And there's a study done, I think, 2 weeks ago about NHL players and the cities where they want to go. And number one, Houston, was a long shot. And they asked me about it on the radio here. Number one, I said, well, they heard about our strip clubs. And I remember Charles Barkley used to say he liked to come to Houston because of the strip clubs. And then he, when he got traded here, he was upset because he didn't get to make road trips here. That made no sense, of course. But I know from covering hockey, I covered Mark Messier when he was with the minor league Houston Apollos for a couple of weeks, and he had a lot of hair, but so did I. I covered Gordie Howe and his sons, Mark and Marty, and Houston used to sell out. And it's 15,256 every game for the Summit, and which was our arena. The Rockets were playing home games in Waco and San Antonio because they couldn't draw here. And Tillman Fertitta, the only reason he would want a team, because he wouldn't want somebody else building a building separately because he controls the building, the Toyota Center downtown. But right now, Texans want more money from the politicians. The Rockets and Astros want money from the politicians. And I'm worried that we're not going to do what it takes to help an owner, whether it's infrastructure, tax money. By the way, there's a great story on SI.com. There's two great ones. Number one, I can't remember the reporter, had to spend weeks on this, and I read it this morning about global warming and how few cities are going to be able to host the bid on the Winter Olympics because you can't manufacture snow at the way you want to. And how much today snow is almost all manufactured. And it's an incredible story about with the Olympians talking about they're afraid the Winter Olympics eventually be phased out because nobody can host them because they're not getting snow like they used to. And the other great one is they did that one, and then they had another one about Salt Lake City, which gets the Winter Olympics in 34. What a great job people there, politicians and business leaders, have done with getting sports there after the Jazz. And they're ready to go for a Major League Baseball franchise. And I think Nashville will be the first team they expand to because the commissioner says he wants two more teams by the time he retires in 29. And they had, can you imagine this? They had hardly any opposition to relate to raising a couple billion in tax money to help them buy land and clear land for where the baseball stadium goes, where their entertainment districts are. It's amazing how everybody in the state is behind acquiring sports teams. It's almost like the money doesn't matter. And you don't have a lot of people raising cane about it. And I'll tell you this, have we ever seen a situation the media will reach out to somebody, usually an expert at a college, and say, okay, well, if we spend these tax dollars on the stadium, what's the benefit? And they'll say none or minimal. Don't do it. Then when the stadium's built, they're among the first to want tickets.
Yeah, right. That's crazy. By the way, I have a friend who lives in Boston. He's forecasted 19 inches of snow in the next 24 hours. So if they want to move the Winter Olympics there, they can. John, why do the Texans need money?
Texans are trying to get a renovated stadium. Theirs opened in 2002. And right now, the last report, the renovations, and that's the whole property around what is NRG Park, it's $2 billion. Well, I know what's coming. You're going to do that. And the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, which is even bigger than the Texans here, they'll be part of it. And then they said, well, if you build them a new, if they're undergoing all these renovations, where are they going to play? And if they were going to build a new stadium there, where would it go? You can't build it as long as the Astrodome is there. And talking about tearing down the Astrodome is a political hot potato, even though it's just sitting there going to waste and nothing will ever be put in there. On Wednesday, the Texans have a big deal planned. They worked a deal with what's called Cypress on the west part of town, a growing area. They're going to build them by 29. A state-of-the-art practice facility and entertainment area out there, and a lot of areas were competing for the facility. Right now, they're one of three teams that practices as their facility in their stadium. And so I'm thinking, okay, this area, which has a lot of money, maybe they'd be the one that'd want to build a new stadium out there. But I do know this, they're not going to get another one as long as where it is now, as long as the Astrodome is standing.
What, is that a 50-50 on the Astrodome being knocked down, or are people like, yes, no? I got to think. I'd say keep it, but I don't live in Houston.
There's a group that does everything it can to keep the dome. Well, nothing will ever be done to it. So eventually, centuries from now, just fall apart or look like the Roman Colosseum.
Right.
But it costs millions just to keep air conditioning on. And it's been terrible since Hurricane Katrina, and so many evacuees came over here and lived in it. And it's an eyesore. I tell you, it reminds me of somebody that's dying in a rest home, and at some point they're going to be dead. Well, these groups that get after the politicians, and so far nobody has come up with an idea about tearing it down, because it would cost a fortune to tear it down and haul it away, because they got asbestos, big-time asbestos issues.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Thought we might hear it today. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday, continuing with John McClain down in Houston. John, George Pickens going to get franchise-tagged by the Cowboys. I don't think this is really that big of a surprise, but Stephen Jones putting that out there. When you look at the Cowboys roster, I mean, doesn't it not appear that they should be a better team than they are, especially if they make some moves in the offseason?
Well, they better make those moves on defense, because they got to get another pass rusher. It's a good draft for edge rushers. They need a corner. It's a good draft for corners where the Packers are picking. They should get an edge rusher with their pick, and they should get a corner when they make their pick. And I don't know what they'll do in free agency. Right now they have the worst cap situation in the league, but they can get under it. And the thing about Pickens, he's not going to play at the franchise tag, but boy, if you think how many wide receivers, and boy, those guys are divas like no other. How many of them have left their teams and actually helped them do something? Tyreek Hill? No. George Pickens? No. DK Metcalf? No. You know, I would not give that kind of money to George Pickens, knowing how he was and what a pain in the butt he was for the Steelers, and he's on his best behavior last season because he knew it was the last year of his contract, and his agent got him to focus, I guess, and he had a great season. But I would not trust the guy based on his history. And I would take that money and use it somewhere else and draft a young receiver. But yes, the Cowboys should be better. Maybe they will be. They've made some changes on their coaching staff. But they've got to improve their defense.
What do you think of Alec Pierce, who's looking like he's going to be a free agent?
Well, he's Alec. I remember when Calvin Ridley was a free agent, everybody got excited about it. You just got to be careful about how much money you spend on receivers. And if you look at is Alec Pierce in the top five? No. Is he in the top 10? Maybe. But I'm sure he's got illusions of grandeur that he's going to get paid big-time money. I don't see it, even though he's been terrific, and he's been reliable. So if you got to get one, you know, I'd see Jackson Smith and Jigba want to be the highest-paid receiver, which means he's going to expect to get over $40 million a year. And I wouldn't do it for a receiver. They may catch a lot of passes, but, boy, is he the reason they won a Super Bowl? No, they won a Super Bowl because they played great defense. They had a really good running game, and they had a quarterback who didn't turn the ball over in any playoff games. But you don't take care like the Titans. Titans got to be thinking offensive line first. I'm not talking about edge rusher. I'm talking about just on the offense. They got to be thinking about whatever they need to continue to do to improve the offensive line. And then, of course, they need more weapons for Ward to throw the ball to, and whether that's in free agency or the draft. But man, oh, man. Pierce seems like the kind of guy you can spend the money and he's going to produce because he's gotten better every year. I don't think he's had any issues, and he's not a diva.
Yeah, that's exactly right. John, one of the biggest decisions in the offseason is going to be whether or not Travis Kelce returns. And I ask you this, because Kelce loves Andy Reid so much, and if he doesn't make a decision until July and says he doesn't come back, the Chiefs have missed out on a free agent tight end, drafting maybe a tight end. Do you think because of the relationship, he's going to go to Andy Reid in the next week or so? Or should he and say, look, here's what I want to do going forward?
Yeah, I think he's coming back. And I think they will address the position because he didn't have a bad season. He had a good season, just not great like he's had before. He obviously loves the game. But I think that'll be a priority for them, whether it's in the free agency or the draft. But I do expect Kelce back one more year. But you can't make a team wait. You decide to retire in June. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I think it would hurt. I think out of respect for Andy, I think it would hurt if he decides to retire and they've missed out on possibly getting a tight end to help out. I just think that's not good for Andy, for the team, for Kelce. It's just a bad
look. They're going to get a tight end, whether he's told them or not. And you know he's told Andy Reid which way he's leaning. Everybody says he's coming back. You know, it's probably what Taylor tells him to do.
Well, that's a smart man then, right, to do that.
Absolutely.
John, the combine this week is happening. And again, you've covered it for so long and like that. And I just, when I hear the combine, I'm like, yeah. And now, you know, the big thing has become pro days, right? And, you know, like Mendoza, I'll go interview with you, but I'll go to my pro day. Is pro day going to overtake combine, do you think, soon?
What bothers me is people that will criticize a quarterback for not throwing. And he's with receivers he's not familiar with. For instance, I've seen situations there where a receiver will miss a pass and get criticized for it. And then you find out the receiver was supposed to run a 12-yard route out and he ran a 10 or a 14. And so the quarterback's off target and makes the quarterback look bad. Obviously, the agents and the quarterback guru want him to be in a situation in which they've rehearsed like a Broadway musical. And I remember Johnny Manziel's pro day. I stuck my head outside of their indoor facility, and I thought I was watching a Broadway musical rehearsal because there he was with his receivers and his quarterback guru going over everything they were going to do. And I've always been amazed. The late, great C.O. Bricado told me many times, if you don't know if a guy's a player by watching the tape of his games and his practices or going to see him in person during his college football season, you shouldn't need to be in the business. And of course, they care about the 40 and all that. Like the strongest guy at the combine every year, they never make it. You never hear from them.
Right.
And the fastest. You know, like Xavier Worthy, you know, he's flashed at Kansas City, but he hadn't done anything special. He's going to be a three-year veteran. And so the combine, I don't blame quarterbacks. Mendoza knows he's going number one. The Raiders know he's going number one. They probably should be more concerned when they take him to lunch and dinner just talking to him. Now, we all know the kid's got a great personality,
right?
Contagious, infectious, but they'll want to throw situations out there to him and see how he reacts to them. But I never begrudge a quarterback who does not work out there. One time Teddy Bridgewater showed up at his pro day with a glove on and he had a bad day and he still ended up getting drafted. I think did Minnesota trade back in and draft him at the bottom of the first round?
I don't remember.
I kind of think they did because they can also have private workouts.
Right.
They like to do that. Like, say, I guarantee you last year they had a private workout with Cam Ward because they can tell him what to do. Okay, Cam, we want you to throw a 15-yard out. We want you to throw a post down the middle because it's not the quarterback guru telling him what it's going to be. One time, Blake Bortles, I thought the Texans might draft him. I went to his pro day. and his guru handed out a sheet that had everything down for everybody there so we could see exactly what his throw was going to be. And I thought, man, they've come a long way from the way it used to be.
Are there any more Cio Brincados out there who have that kind of leverage, John, that pull, have the owner's ear like he did, or is that gone now?
Well, I think most of them now would be a guy, I'm sure they do, that some of them, like a lot of teams, the GM gets credit. Like I see, boy, John Schneider's built two Super Bowl teams. Well, Pete Carroll had final say every day he was there. So maybe Schneider recommended all those players from the Legion of Boom, but Pete had the final say, just like Kyle Shanahan has the final say in his contract. And you hear people, boy, John Lynch has done a great job. And maybe he has. Andy Reid has final say on everything there. And they rely on their general managers, of course. But I don't know enough about it now to see people who reacted to Cio react today the way they did Cio Brincato, who I knew. I met him in late 70s, maybe 1980. And that had the universal respect he did.
He is John McClain down in Houston. John, appreciate it. As always, we'll talk next week.
Guys, thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
Absolutely. John McClain joins us every Monday at 2. We'll come back, reset our question of the day, and have much more here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game.